somebody maybe in Stafford today like a copy of God's Word, the Gospel. It is today Mark or John Gospel, you know, extracts that is from the New Testament of the Bible. You know, good starter, you know, good place to begin. You know, your instruction, your education, you know, concerning the things of God. You'd like a copy of God's written word. It's offered to you quite freely. It is by this means, you know, that people actually come to faith. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God, and, well, sometimes too by reading the word of God, you know. And, you know, light comes from God's word. My word is a light, a lamp to my feet, you know, because it's not in man to direct his own steps, says God, you know. So here is God's counsel, God's instruction as to how you can be guided in the path of righteousness. And of course, well, the pathway to eternal glory, more importantly. Ready for that day, you know, when you must, as we all must, breathe your last, you know, and go out of this sin-sick and sin-cursed world to be no more for this world. Gone, 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 gone. Not just to the grave, but your soul returned to God to dispose of, well, as he sees fit, as he sees necessary, on the basis, of course, of what you have done with, or not done, that is, with his Son Jesus Christ, sent into the world. And here's the testimony, here's the good news. Here's a message, God's word. Tell you, my friend, how you can be saved, reconciled to God, so that all your arguments can be brought down. Because, my friends, when you read God's word, well, you may be able to gainsay me, but not, believe me, not God's word. So you like a copy, as I say, it's offered to you quite freely, no cost, no obligation to you. You're simply and only for the taking. In the Bible, wherever you go, doesn't matter where you go, you'll find Jesus. Because he's there, he says, and testify of me. You know, that you can see, in one sense, that's what the Bible's given to us for. It's God's testimony, his record concerning Jesus. And so wherever you go in the Bible, doesn't matter, Genesis to Revelation, anywhere else in between, you'll find Jesus if you're looking for him. If you want to find him, because God assures us that if we seek him with all our hearts, we shall find him. Not playing hide and seek with you. You have the knowledge of him innately inside of you, suppressed, repressed, but that knowledge is there. And you have the knowledge of God in all creation, everything that he has made. And my friends, you have the word of God offered to you, presented to you today. You have the gospel declared to you. So my friends, without excuse, whoever or whatever you are, or whatever you go in the Bible, you'll find Jesus if you're looking for him. King David, King of Israel, speaks about him in his book of Psalms. In fact, you'll find even Jesus. You'll find Jesus speaking there in the book of Psalms. Long, long before he descended, he came down into this world. Maybe born of the Virgin, made of a woman, made under the law to deliver, redeem those under the law, under the curse of God's law. And that, of course, is every man, woman, and child born into this world. So you see, my friends, long before, hundreds and hundreds of years before the Son of Man was born into this world, miraculously, powerfully, supernaturally, my friends, sent to be a Savior and Redeemer. He speaks, my friends, because He's the eternal Son of God, that's why. He speaks there in the book of the Psalms, so that you might know Him, hear His call, and that you might, well, that you might know eternal life in His name, by His death and by His resurrection. He speaks of His resurrection even here in the book of the Psalms. Psalm 21, if you want to check it out, verse 4. He asked life of thee. That's the Son of God. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. And so he goes on. He asked for life, you see. The Son of God, the Son of Man who came, born of a woman, came specifically and purposely to die. To die, my friends, on a cross. But my friends, He was assured in coming that He would not see corruption. He would not be left, as it were, molding in the grave, but that He would be raised from the dead, because He asked for life and He was given life, my friends. Raised from the dead. He came to die. He came to die, but not just. I have power, He says, to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it again. Why? Because He asked for life and He was given it. Abundant life, overflowing life. Life, my friends, from the dead. Eternal, everlasting life. He asked for life and He was given it. But He came, first of all, to die. To die on that cross, my friends, in order that you might be redeemed, that you might be reconciled to God, because He was the way you could be. Somebody, the nature that sinned, has to pay the price for sin. Adam, your first daddy and mine, he brought the sin into the world and brought sin upon you and I. So that nature that sinned, you see, had to pay the penalty. So the Son of God had to become a man. He had to live that blameless life, my friends, and go to that cross in order to pay the penalty that's due to you, that's due to I, every one of us, because we all be sinners, all be transgressors, all live in iniquity before God. And my friends, that's why the world of the human race is so utterly dysfunctional, where all your distresses, all your afflictions, all your troubles come from. COVID-19, earthquakes, tsunamis, matters not, all comes out of the one fountain, my friends, that sin that came into the world and came upon all men. And so therefore, my friends, in need of being seriously in need of being redeemed from the curse, because there's a curse that lies upon the human race. Surely, as the sparks fly upwards, says the prophet Job, as surely as the sparks fly upwards, you never see sparks going downwards, they always go upwards. As surely as the sparks fly upwards, man is born to trouble. So when you ask the question, why suffering? You know, why does God allow suffering? That's not the wrong question, you know. It's yourself that you've got to look at, man you've got to look at. He brought sin into the world. He has to pay for the sin. And because of that sin, my friends, all the distresses, all the alarms, all the trouble, all the afflictions that come upon human beings, inescapable. Because of the curse that lies upon humanity because of man's sin. So you see, the nature that sin has to pay the penalty. So the Son of God became man, made of a woman. born of a woman, of the virgin, came into this world in order to do that very thing, to pay the price. You cannot pay, I cannot pay. My friends, only the blood of God's Son could atone. Only a perfectly righteous man, Jesus, the only good man that ever walked the face of your earth, the only righteous man that ever walked this planet. And what did we do? What did we do with him? We crucified him, we nailed him to a cross. But even in doing so, it was the will of God. It was the counsel of God in order that men and women could be saved, to pay the price, the ultimate price for that sin. But how do we know? How can we be sure that the blood of God's Son would atone for our sins? How do you know? How can you be absolutely sure that if you put your trust in Jesus, your sins will be forgiven and you'll be reconciled to God? Well, because of His resurrection. He asked for life and He was given life. Rose from the dead after the third day, my friends. Death could not hold him. Why? Because he's the mighty Son of God, that's why. God the Son. Death could not hold him. He arose mightily from the grave, signifying, demonstrating the very evidence that he is the Son of God with power. By resurrection from the dead, God's seal, if you like, on his atonement, that it is acceptable to God, that the sinner who comes to Jesus and puts their trust in Jesus gets what they're looking for, forgiveness. That's what you ought to be looking for. That's the thing that you need more than anything else, is God's forgiveness for your transgressions and your iniquities. You need to be forgiven. Because without that forgiveness, without the dealing of your sins, there is no access to God. You mumble prayers all the day long if you like. You can do it in church buildings or out of them. You can do it in your bedroom. It doesn't matter where you do them. No access to God until the sin is dealt with, until forgiveness. But my friends, this is the gospel, you see, that God sent His Son Jesus into the world to die that death that was true to you and I. To die that death and rise again from the dead, in order that you might know that your sins are forgiven. That there is forgiveness with God. That's the amazing, that's the astonishing thing. Not your afflictions, not your troubles and distresses that come out of the curse upon humanity because of man's sin. That's not amazing, that's not astonishing. What's amazing, my friends, is that there is forgiveness with God. That God, in His kindness, love and mercy, sent His only begotten Son into the world, that through Him, that we might be forgiven. But you can go to Jesus. You can go to Him with full confidence, full trust, knowing that you will be forgiven. If that is, you put your trust, if you believe in Jesus, your sins will be atoned for, they will be forgiven. And you will be given eternal life in His name, reconciled to God for time and for eternity. He asked for life and He was given it. He received it, my friends. He received it not just for Himself. He received it for all those who will put their trust in Him, all those whom God has given to Him to save. He saves all those who come to Him, and He gives life to them. That's the other thing, of course, that you need. Forgiveness and life, because life is foreign to you. All you have is an existence, not life. What you have at the moment, what you have presently, is not what you would call life. That's not life, my friends. That's just existing. You come into the world. You're conceived in your barn in sin. and you come into the world and you exist for a time. 70 years maybe, perhaps less and perhaps more. But you exist, that's all you do. You don't live because you don't know what life is until you know the one who is life, Jesus. The one who asked for life, received life, but not just for himself, but for all those who will believe on his name. He gives life to them. Life from the dead, here you are, says God, dead in your trespasses and sins, without the life of God in you, without the love of God in your heart. Why, my friends, as Jesus terms it, you must be born again. That's when God supernaturally, miraculously, spiritually puts his life into your soul. Then you live. He raises you. It's not religion you need. Not religion, my friends. Not the same thing. We're talking about life. Life from the dead. We're talking about resurrection. We're talking about regeneration. We're talking about being raised out of your tomb of unbelief, out of your prison house of sin. We're talking about you being liberated and life from the dead. That's what the gospel sets before you and, my friends, is presented to you today. Life from the dead, from Jesus. But there's no one else who can give you that life, that spiritual life, that eternal life, that everlasting life. Only Jesus. Only Jesus, whosoever believeth shall not perish but have everlasting life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the resurrection and the life. My friends, the one who has life in himself because he asked for it. It was given to him. Not just for himself, but all who will believe that he is indeed the resurrection and the life, and come to him and receive life, because he has the power to give life, my friends. But only Jesus does. Oh, you can take life. You can take life, and you do abundantly so, by means of abortion. You're killing, you're martyr. You're martyred in the name of abortion to your National Health Service. Or you can kill by means of abortion, by means of euthanasia, drugs, violence. Or you can take life. You can do that, and you do it right well, and you do it abundantly in your modern scientific technological society. A nation of killers, I say. A nation of murderers. That's what you become. But you can't give life. You can take it, but you can't give it. Only Jesus can. And he gives life. He gives life to those who come to him. Those who believe on his name. Those who trust in him. He gives life unto them. That's what he came for. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That's how you would describe yourself today, your miserable self today, as somebody with abundant life in you. Don't look like it, not from here, not from my perch. It doesn't look like it. All I can see is miserable sinners before me. But abundant life, Jesus says. I am come that they might have it. Because he asked for it, and it was given to him. Life, my friends. Life for dead sinners. Life from the dead. Life everlasting. He received it. He gives it, my friends. He gives it. Because he's a given God. He's a given Savior. He loves to give. He loves to give. And he gives good gifts to men. He gives salvation to man. He gives life to man. Life from the dead. Oh, my friends, come to Jesus. Put your trust in him. He possesses it, but only for believers. Only for believers. He doesn't give it to anybody else. He doesn't give it to religious people. He doesn't give it to atheists. He doesn't give it to godless people. He doesn't give it to people who are satisfied with their mean, horrible, miserable existence in sin. He doesn't give it to them. He only gives it to believers. You get nothing out of God's hand except by faith in Jesus Christ. If thou canst believe, says Jesus, all things are possible to him that believeth. Through faith is possible for you to be resurrected from the dead this very day. If you can believe, says Jesus. If you can believe, that's the criterion. That's the factor, my friends. Faith in Jesus, believing in Jesus, life could be yours today. Life eternal, life everlasting, through the Son of God who came for this purpose, asking for life. He was given life, and he has life in him. He has life abundant in him. He has enough life, I tell you, for every sinner who will come to him and put their trust in him. But only for believers, only believers. Nobody else gets nothing from him. All the blessings of God, peace with God, joy everlasting. Oh, my friends, all of these, hope that doesn't disappoint, a concrete hope, a hope, my friends, that will take you through this veil of tears, through this valley of the shadow of death, through the grave, my friends, and out the other side to eternity, where you're going. Where you're going, my friends, like it or not, believe it or not, it's where you're bound for eternity, with God or without God. Which will you choose? Which will it be, my friends? In your sin, in your miserable, sinful existence, all you can choose is eternal death, my friends. Now, my friends, the grace of God, you see, only by the grace of God can you even be made willing, my friends, to come to Jesus. Only by the grace of God, my friends, can you even begin to taste the bitterness of your sin and the bitterness of death and the bitterness of a lost eternity and be made willing to fly into the arms of Jesus in order that you might have life. In order that you might have life. In order that you might be saved. Resurrected. Regenerated. Born again. Recreated. That's what it takes, my friends. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Don't be amazed, he says. Don't be astonished. Don't marvel at it. Look at the human race. Look at the killing of one another. You talk about lives mattering. They don't matter a whit to you. You kill all day long. One day after another. You're never done killing. And you say that lives matter. No, they don't. What would it take to change? What would it take to transform a human race? A murderous, man-slaying human race such as you have before you. What would it take? What kind of power? Well, said Jesus, you must be born again. You must have life put into your soul. You must have the love of God put into your heart by the Holy Ghost. You must be born again, my friends. There is no other way. It takes a miracle from God to change a sinner, to change a wicked, obdurate, stubborn, sinful heart. My friends, even were one raised from the dead right in front of you, you would not believe. Now, not without the Spirit of God. Not without you born again. Not unless God puts life into you. Remain as you are, just existing in your sins. But you see, my friend, because he lived, because Jesus lived, the believer is able to live. And live, I say, not exist. But my friends, live. Live eternally. Eternal life now in this world. A quality of life, my friends, far surpassing anything that you know presently. A life, my friends, lived in obedience to God's word, to His commands. Those commandments that you trash and break day after day, that cause you the trouble, cause you the afflictions, the judgments that come upon you in the world today, my friends, there's a cause, you know? Every effect has a cause, don't you know? And the cause of your distresses, the cause of your afflictions, your judgments, your viruses, there's a cause behind it. It's your transgressions. It's your breaking of God's law. It's your iniquities. It's your breaking of God's law. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. My friends, your heathen religions that you put your trust in, your confidence in, your secularism, so-called, your foolish evolutionism that the majority of your race has imbibed. Oh, my friends, there's a cause. There's a cause to every effect. The cause is sin. The cause is iniquity. The cause, my friends, is your very nature. It's your very nature. Sinful nature. You are conceived in sin. You are born in sin. And you live in sin. You live in this stuff. And will die in it. Unless by the grace of God, you are raised to life. Resurrected, regenerated, born again. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You think you can trash? You think you can trash God's institute of marriage and there not be an effect? Huh? You think you can mess with God's institution of marriage and there not be an effect? One man, one woman in holy matrimony, that's God's ordinance. That's God's institution, not the state's. And it's not for the state to mess with, or you either. But you think you can mess with it and there not be an effect? Well, of course there is. All the afflictions, all the distresses that are upon you presently and yet to come, more and more, I can assure you from God's word, COVID-19, that's just a taste, my friends. That's just a down payment. That's just a guarantee of what's to come. So my friends, the answer to the cause, the problem, the answer to the sin, my friends, is Jesus, the risen, conquering Son of God, who came into the world with life and with life abundant, and who came, my friends, to impart life, to raise sinners from the dead in order that they might live, that they might live in hope, because He lives, we are able to live. We, that is, who believe, we, that is, who trust in Him, in His blood shed for our sins, and His resurrection for our justification, to make us right with God. That's how a body's made right with God, don't you know? This is the ABCs of the gospel we're talking here. We're talking about things you ought to know. You ought to have learned at your mother's knee. But all you learn at your mother's knee today is nothing but godlessness. Huh? But you ought to have learned long, long ago the ABCs of the gospel. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for sinners and rose again after the third day, just as the Bible said that He would, in order to give life. Life to sinners. Love, righteousness, to justify them by the gospel. No other way by which a man can be justified, can be made right with God, through faith in the Son of God, in the gospel that Christ died for sinners and rose from the dead. To give life, my friends, to give life. And He Himself personally rolled the stone away in order to reveal Himself. yourself as the risen and reigning Christ, the one who rules from heaven, my friends, and dispenses life to dead sinners even today, forgiveness, justifying them, making them right, and giving them life from the dead. Oh, the gospel, the power of the gospel. No wonder it's called the power of God unto salvation, because nothing else is. Nothing else will save you. Mess of religion won't do that for you. Going into the chapel and saying your prayers won't do that for you. You need to cry. You need to do that thing that you learned. The very first thing you learned when you left your mother's womb. You learned to cry. And you need to cry with a sorrowful and a broken heart, that God would have mercy upon you, deliver you, heal you, and put life into you, in order that you might live eternally, my friends, through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who asked for life, was given life, and gives it, my friends, to those who believe. Salvation. Salvation, he goes on to say, his glory is great in thy salvation. My friends, he lived the life that you should have lived, that I should have lived, but we cannot because of our sin natures. But he lived the life, he lived that blameless life, he bore the cross, he bore the shame, he bore the sin, he bore the wrath, he won the right, my friends, to forgive and impart life to sinners, so that they might be saved. Salvation, my friends, that's what it's about. It's what the Bible's about. Not religion, not your dead religion, not your churchianity, not your cathedral religion, not Rome's variety, not Mecca's variety, not the Church of England's variety, not just dead legalistic religion. Saves nobody. It's Christ, my friends, the risen Christ who saves and who brings salvation to the glory of God. He's the one who conquered sin. He overcame it, my friends, for all who will believe in his name. And they can live in that victory that he brings to them. Victory over sin. You don't have to lie down. You don't have to live in that filthy porn. You don't have to live in that filthy immorality. You don't have to live with your lusts, with the disease of sin, eating at the vitals of your soul. You can be liberated. You can be set free from it. It's what Jesus came for, to liberate. I am come, he says. Came, sent, my friends, to set the captive free. Captivated by your sin, entrapped, ensnared by the devil.
Can I ask you a question? If God is like a mighty power and loves us all, why do the kids get nuns? Why do little babies get raped? Some people get murdered.
Get what?
Nuns, shagged. Basically, why do the kids get
men are evil.
But if men are made in God's image, are we not acting like God?
Not anymore. They were not original.
It's all bullshit.
That's lost.
You believe in a man.
Why are you asking the question, sir?
I'm asking a real question. Why, if God's real, why do the kids get messed with?
Because wicked men like you do these things.
No, mate, me. Do you know what, mate? I'm gonna
say, because wicked,
it's not about religion. If
I said wicked men, wicked foul mouthed men do these things. That's why I'm not a vicar. I'm not a vicar. I'm a preacher. So like I say, you see, sin, my friends, outrageous. You confront them with the truth. You tell them the truth, and what do? They fall into a rage, proving exactly what God said. What men are? Wicked, evil, foul-mouthed sinners. Full of lust and hate and rage against one another. And yes, as he says, abusing, destroying children, abusing and destroying one another. There's no end to it, but that's the result of your sin. The cause is sin, my friends, and that's the effect of it. You want saving from it, you want out of it, then you've got to go to Jesus Christ. because nobody else can deliver you from it. And all the rage in the world, well, you just make yourself worse. You just harden yourself. You just put more distance between you and the Almighty and salvation and eternal life. But he came to save, my friends, to set the captives free, to liberate you from the sin, from the cause, my friends. You want the effects to be taken away. You want the child abuse to be taken away. Huh? But you know what? Hey, you don't want your pornography to be taken away. Huh? You don't want your immorality to be taken away. You don't want the abortion to stop. You don't want the euthanasia to stop. You don't want your lusting to stop. Take away the effects, the horrible effects. I hate the effects, you say, but don't touch my sin, because you love your sin. And that's why you won't come to Jesus. That's why the man rages against Jesus Christ, because he loves his sin. Just like all other men, just like the sinners whom he condemns himself. He condemns them. Well, how much more do you think does God condemn them? But go to Jesus. In him is liberty. In him is life. He asked for life and he was given it. He received it. And he gives life from the dead to those who believe in him. By the power of God unto salvation. By the gospel, that is. That's something to glory in, is it not? That's something to glory over. That's something to boast in. Life from the dead, salvation. Huh? Pornographers made clean. Lustful sinners, men and women, cleansed and purified in their hearts. Life from the dead. That's something to boast in. But what does England glory in now, today? Glories in her shame. Glories in her wrecked institution of marriage. Glories in her sodomy and fornicating ways. Glories in her sin. That's England's glory. Gone, my friends. She's returned to the vomit of her old paganism. But my friends, only Jesus. Only Jesus, only the risen Jesus, only the risen Christ, he who has life in him and life to give to others, who is the resurrection and the life, only he can bring life again to England and to England's sinners and bring glory to God, something to glory in, something to boast in. Then you can go about boasting that you know God and that God knows you. Then you can go about boasting in the gospel that saved you, that brought forgiveness to you, that brought life to you, that brought eternal life to you. Something to glory in, something to boast about, but not your shame. Not your shame. Not your abuse of your children. Huh? Not your wrecking of marriages. Now, something to glory in, my friends. God's salvation, God's grace, God's wonderful grace. But my friends, you know, the end of the story is to know that whatever you do with the gospel, whatever you do with what I'm telling you today, God's gonna have glory out of you. One way or the other, he'll either be glorying in your salvation or glory in your damnation, one or the other. But life and death are presented before you today. Life and death is set before you. Which will it be, my friends? Only a fool would choose death, you'd think anyway. But that's what the sinner says. That's what the sinner who rejects the gospel, that's what he says. I love my sin. I'm going to choose death. I'm going to carry on in my sin. And I'm going to choose death. You say the man's a fool, wouldn't you? But that's what sinners do when they reject the gospel, when they reject the good news of salvation and life from the dead. I just got... But my friends, choose life. Choose life that thou and thy seed may live. consequence, my friends, of sin is death. Death is not natural. That's why men are terrified of it. Why the Bible calls it the King of Terror. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The wages of sin is death. It's appointed unto man once to die. Death, my friends, is God's no to sin. And you choose death. You choose death. You reject the gospel and you choose death. But life, God says, choose life that thou and thy seed may live. Because not down to just you, your selfish self. You know? The age of the selfie, isn't it? Eh? Number one, I. Me. Eh? World revolves around you. You ever thought about your family and where your sinful, godless, wicked life are taking your children and your grandchildren to? You ever thought about that, sir? The consequences? Because you give account to God for that. Also, so I say, friends, you know, it's not just out of you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Thy house. Your family. Because you affect them for good or evil. One way or the other. They'll follow you. They'll follow you. Daddy, watch your support. Now the son will be doing it as well. He'll be feeding on it too before long. Mother dresses like a whore. Well, the daughter will be doing that before too long as well. Half naked, walking about the street. You follow on, you know. Follow on. So if you want to think about yourself, think maybe about your children and your grandchildren. Think about those who are following after. Of those maybe you have responsibility for. Maybe it's a teacher. Are you teaching them the lie of evolution? Are you teaching them all these false, lying dictates that the government lies upon you? You say, I have to. No, you don't. No, you don't. You're not forced to. They don't hold a gun to your head. You do it willingly. And you infect children with your false concepts, ideas, philosophies. And what do? You poison their hearts more, and you poison their souls. You bring them to ruin along with yourself. But the blessing of salvation, my friends, he goes on to say, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. The blessing, my friends, of the gospel. Eternal life to faith. Believing. Only believe, says Jesus. If thou canst believe, he says. Trust in God. Faith, my friends, rescues from sin and death and hell. Faith, my friends, I tell you, works miracles. Receives miracles, rather. Sees the transformation of that obdurate, sinful heart melted, my friends. Faith in Jesus Christ. Releasing you from the trap, from the snare, from the evil of sin, my friends, that holds you captive, that oppresses you, that brings you down to the gates of death even. Rescued by faith, my friends, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, from death and hell, from the power of the devil. That when Jesus comes again with his mighty angels in holy fire, he says, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and who obey not the gospel, but to be admired in all those who believe, all those who do know him, those, that is, who obey the gospel call. What is the gospel call? But to repent and believe the gospel in order that you might be saved through faith in the name of the Savior, the risen Jesus Christ. an object of his admiration rather than an object of his vengeance. But that's where you'll be if you continue on in the way of sin. That's what you'll be, my friends, when he comes. An object of his vengeance, of his wrath that's already upon you now, but to be visited upon you more fully and more fiercely in that day, when he comes with his holy angels in flaming fire to take vengeance. So, my friends, fly into the arms of Jesus. Endless, endless blessings, my friends. Endless. No end to them. The joy, the everlasting joy, happiness, my friends, for the sinner that is, who repents, who turns from their sins and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, my friends. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And thy house, repent, ye, and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, my friends, as many did with your COVID-19. Thousands taken out of this world into eternity in the last 4 months just. Viruses kill their thousands. Sin kills their billions. The wages, sin is death, takes you out of this world, not into a state of non-being, but takes you into the presence of God, of the judge of all the earth. It is appointed unto man once to die. After that, oh, you say, we don't know. Oh, you say, nobody knows. Oh, yes, there was one who returned from the grave. Jesus, and he tells you plainly and clearly today, after this comes the judgment. And you stand before God and you give account for your sin nature that you got from your parents. And what comes out of that sin nature? Your sin, your iniquities, your lawless deeds that bring the curse of God upon you, and that bring all the afflictions and all the distresses known to humankind. That's where they all come from, because you live in the midst of a race, a world, a universe that's under the curse of God. And so you yourself are cursed. Cursed, my friends, cursed. That's what you are. And only one person who can lift that curse from off you, Jesus Christ, who died for sinners to redeem them from the curse, that you might be set free, and that you might be given life, eternal life, everlasting life, in the name of the risen Savior, the risen Jesus Christ. To him you must go, and go swiftly, because viruses, earthquakes, explosions, tsunamis are no respecter of age, and no respecter of wealth, no respecter of persons. They come to everybody, my friends. While you have the breath of life in you, now is the day, now is the accepted time, says God. Run to Jesus, the Savior, the only one, my friends, who can impart life to you. He asked for life that was given to him, and he has it in abundance, and he gives it to all who come to him in faith, that is, believing. Life from the dead. Life instead of your miserable, unhappy, rebellious, iniquitous, sinful, miserable lives that you have to endure presently. Life abundant. I am come that they might have life, have it more abundantly. Repent, Jesus, and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, ye, and believe the gospel. Repent, ye, and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You like a copy of God's word? You come and ask for one gladly, placed into your hands. Like one, freely offered, no cost, no obligation to you. You'd like one, you come and ask for one. How you doing? Okay. We got any believers here?
Yeah.
You think? I take some convincing. Convince me. Tell me how you come to believe. How does a person come to believe? Huh? Punishes sin. The virus was a punishment. Man's unbelief. You need to repent and believe the gospel in order to be saved from the virus, from worse, from your sin. Your sin. Sin's the cause, not God. Your sin.